What a great honor and privilege, of course, to have been a part of the Franco family. This cornerstone now, we're getting close to two decades, which to me is great. My haircut hasn't changed a bit in 20 years. Actually, it's about 26 years, to be exact. Yeah, and I have to keep shaving it. That's the shine. It's not glory or anything. It's just shiny. Yeah. This is my baby right here, the absolute love of my life on earth anyways, right here. Come on, stand up. Let them see you. Grandma. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'd encourage you to come out on Monday and hear her. You'll really enjoy her. She's fantastic. And she moves a lot with me when we have when we have two or three of us doing what you're going to see me do a little bit later and tonight, and the whole prophecy thing is beautiful. How about our worship team? Appreciate them? Yeah. Yeah. Those are beautiful songs. I mean, just fantastic. And, of course, I appreciate our sound and audio, visual. I don't even think we use those words anymore. Guys up here, yeah. I've said it all services. Stephen has to get on vacation when I leave because it's five, six, seven meetings with me. He's like, you know, he just has to go home and nap in the afternoon and come back at night and then take a few days off. He loves me, though. Right? Yeah. I want to take you on a journey this morning to a great story, and I really want to do the final bookend this evening. This in itself is a word by itself, but I want to connect it later tonight. We'll have a great time there. John chapter 2. I want to read this story. We're going to stay here, and I'm going to make some comments, and then we'll pray after we read it. It's a great story. You probably know it. Did I mention how much honor and privilege it has to be part of Cornerstone? Great folks here. Love it. And we did bring the warm weather. You enjoying that? Yeah, it's going to get back to normal this week. I saw that. John chapter 2. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. He almost sounds a little bit sarcastic to her, but 1 hour in Bible time is 42 years. 42 is the number for a generation. What Jesus is saying really is, this is not the generation for what you are asking for. Verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, just half full, 3/4 full, 1/4 full. And Jesus said unto them, fill those water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out now and bring it to the governor of the feast. And they did. They brought it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and didn't know where it came from, but the servants which drew the water, they knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom over. Listen to what he says. Every man at the beginning does bring the good wine or the best wine. And when men have well drunk into the evening, then that which is the worst wine. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles of Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and I love this word, manifested, made visible, made known, what was unseen, now seen, what was invisible, now visible, manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. It is a true story. It is in a parable or an allegory. There is a Cana of Galilee. We were there when we were in Israel. It's a small little village in the Galilee area. The wedding's a true story. It's a real story. But it's not just a story. It is really a word to any generation that is in desperate need of the manifestation of his glory. I don't mean the kavod that was on Mount Sinai that Moses saw that was so fearful that all of the Israelites stood away, and literally Mount Sinai quaked, lightnings and thunders, and God was in it and speaking out of it. But no man could enter into that glory. No. I'm talking about the doxa. the New Testament glory. It is the splendor, the beauty, the majesty, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. So tangible, you feel him in your car, you feel him in your home, you sense him in your workplace, you sense him at the Starbucks. Government can't have to acknowledge that. He's here. That dimension. This is a word to us. This generation, we are in desperate need of a manifestation of his glory that the world has never seen before. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, again, the honor and privilege as I've expressed this morning to be part of the Franco family, this tremendous pastoral team, of the great folks, the eldership of Cornerstone. It's been an honor and privilege. This morning, though, Lord, let there be a revelation of Jesus Christ for us all and to us all, a revelation of the kingdom of God that has been freely given to us. It is a kingdom that has no limitations, a kingdom that cannot be removed, a kingdom that is consuming all kingdoms within it. Let us know that kingdom. May it be in demonstration and reality in our generation. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the story. Let's begin walking through it. First, I love it's on the third day. There's a lot of beautiful numbers in the scriptures when in the Hebrew text. The number three is the number for the sovereignty of God. What that is whatever God says is. Whatever he does, no one questions it. It really began in the creation when there was nothing. Can you imagine nothing existed and he declared the heavens, the earth, the dry seas, the invisible world, and he simply spoke it. Not only did he create out of nothing, but then he recreated because of a trauma of the earth, and the Spirit of God brooded over it. He spoke into it. And this, everything we see is upheld by the word of his power. That's the sovereignty of God. Something in his story is going to be sovereign. Nothing men can do, nothing man can ever do, but it's going to be the sovereignty, the sovereign work of God. The second thing in this story that I love, it's a wedding. Man, I still to this day do weddings. I usually do all of my grandkids, one grandchild, and all of my nieces and nephews, and I just love weddings. You know, at a wedding, even the sourest of our family members is at least a little happy. A smile, you know how it is. And I get in there to be able to dance and stuff. And in this culture, the wedding was a thing that they were planning all year, maybe several years. Usually the entire village would be invited to it. It was really a real event. I love it for you and I, though, because at 22 years old, imagine it's 44 years ago, when I asked Jesus Christ into my life, I was entered into this marriage celebration as you. And I loved him that day, but he loved me more than I could have ever thought anybody could love me. And from that day to this day, he has loved me more than I ever thought, and I've been in love with him more than ever. I mean, that love creates this love, and I love this love, but it's nothing compared to this love. And I've got this kind of thing going every Monday morning, Tuesday morning. I don't know what to say to people. I'm in that love. You know, if there's some young couples here, you know how they are. They're all, you could have a piece of lettuce in your teeth, and he'll go, look at how cute, lettuce. 2 years later, could you get that out of your mouth, please? You know, right? I love that, though. But it's that renewed, constant love. And I want you to know that my life dream was that my brothers and my sisters, my nieces and my nephews, now my grandchildren, now a 2-year-old great-granddaughter, I'm wanting my family, my high school friends from way back then, I'm wanting everybody to come into the marriage feast and celebrate this thing that you and I experience every single day of our lives. The hope, the dream, the gladness, the peace of God that rules our hearts is incredible in a day like this. But I want to tell you something, and I want to say something to us this morning. When they had no wine, the feast ceased. In this culture, our culture is a little differently. We don't really, a lot of weddings, no more alcohol, no more wine because of what happens. But in this culture, wine was a precedent. You had to have it. And to run out of it and not have enough would be something that would be a disgrace. The governor of the feast, he'd be appalled at this. I want you to know that we are to a people that have no wine. We're wanting to invite our family and our friends, but there's something lacking with us as it was in this wedding. I want to say this about women. Listen, water is a type of the Spirit. And there's one thing beautiful about water. It's refreshing. Isn't it beautiful this morning? The music was refreshing, and there was just this refreshment in this place every time we get together. But wine's intoxicating. It has influence. Now, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, John will say it this way. He goes, I was under the influence of the Spirit. I was in that place of being so moved by him, so controlled by him, that is the place I was actually staying in. Peter will walk out of that upper room that day at Pentecost, and they'll say to him, "You're drunk." I don't believe at all they were like this. There was something that had influenced them. That man 50 days ago was hiding in a room, all 120 of them, fearful, afraid, quaking, wondering what the Romans were going to do, wondering where the temple guards were, and they came out of that room a new people, courageous yet humble, and declaring the greatness of God. What a moment! We are a nation, a church world that needs the wine again. Third thing in our story, is it three or four? Three is good. I love this issue with Mary. Mary is here at this wedding. Mary, for you and I this morning, is the watchman. In every generation, the prophet Isaiah will say that I have set watching upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They will not give me rest. They will cry night and day. Will you not restore us? Will you rebuild us? Will you make us a great praise in the earth? They're a people, men and women. They're here in this church. They're in every city of our world. They have a sense of what we need. They know there's something missing, and their cry goes out to God, not against people, not against governments. It's to him. He's the only one that can change it. And Mary is sensitive. I don't know how she knows. How does she know they have no wine? She's a guest. But she has a sense something's wrong, and she goes to the only person that can change it. And you know Jesus' words to her, this is not the generation for what you're asking for. And then she'll say to the servants, our next group in this story, which I love. I love these servants. We don't know how many there are. We don't know if they're men or women. We don't know their age. We don't even know if they're hired. They could have been in slavery to the groom or to the guy that was with the governor of the feast. We don't really know why they're there, but they're there. No names, no places, no numbers. It's just like servants. And she says to them, whatsoever he says, do it. Boy, that's the heart of a servant. If I could be known as anything in my lifetime, it would be simply just a servant of his. It's amazing. It didn't matter the recognition. Nothing mattered. They were just going to do what he said. And so he tells them to fill these 6 water pots of stone to the brim. They fill them to the top. I mean, it really is a senseless thing. It doesn't matter. All this was if you were Jewish and you walked into a wedding, they knew that you had to wash ceremonially because you were dirty, you were filthy, you were a sinner before you could ever enter into this feasting area. And so they would come, mom, dad, the children, and just kind of get some water and everyone else. That's what it said. They were just simply stone pots with water in it. So filling them made no sense. But they did. I don't know if they had a hose. I love these things about our story. They got buckets, and they were probably looking at each other. I don't know why we're doing this. This doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's just fill these up. What does it matter? Then all of a sudden, it was full. And a miracle took place. And they're looking, and all of a sudden, they look at each other going, I mean, everybody's mulling around. They're complaining. What kind of wedding is this? Like people do. I can't believe this. I'm taking money out of the envelope. This is terrible. That's why we don't lick it. Just think it. They say, you know what he said? We have to bring it over to the governor of the feast. Look at him over there. Okay, I'll do it. No, I'll do it. No, I'll do it. No, I'll do it. All right, we'll all do it. And I imagine there's probably a small stone. They usually would have a small stone container there. And they dipped it in. You don't mind. They're servants, if you don't mind. I mean, you can still be humble and walk like this. Sure, the governor of the feast must have looked over and thought, what's with you guys? What's with the face? What do you got there? And they probably took it, just like, just see it, handing it to him. He would have grabbed it and thought, would you buy this at the Kroger's on the way to church? Would you get it out of a can? And notice it comes in cans now. I mean, what? His expectations were obviously low by his own words. This is going to be awful. So he just almost reluctantly. This is kind of wedding. I've never been to a place like this. Believe it. No wines. The servant's like this. I've seen it on TV. I didn't know what tithes were for, I know now. Man, he calls the bridegroom over. He goes, sis, what's happened here? Every man puts the good wine first, and when the time is gone, hours gone, it's the worst. I just want to say something about these clay pots. I left them for this moment. You see, they were just stone pots. There was nothing about them, but it was what was contained in them that was the key. Paul said it this way. He says, listen, we are nothing but clay pots, just stone containers, that the excellence of the power might be of God, not of us. In Noah's flood, there were three waters that came that brought the flood. Three ways water comes into the earth. The first, of course, was rain. And I love it when in our lives, though, we have these times of refreshing. We've had it here this morning. It's been great. It'll be tonight. And this is beautiful about being in church. And I would never miss church. I mean, ever since we come, because I want to be there. I don't want to miss the time of refreshing. I just want to be a part of this whole process of the worship and the word and the fellowship. It's just fantastic. And it's beautiful. And those are times that we get refreshed by the Spirit. It's water. There's times that the prophet Malachi will say it this way. He'll say, listen, you can trust me because I'm going to open up you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that cannot be contained. And I realized that there are people in my life that were like windows. See, you and I aren't doors. I'm not a door or a wall. I'm a window. You should be able to look into my life and see someone else. See somewhere else. There should be something about us. But it's beautiful when the Lord is doing it this morning. Just opens up Jay LaRue and graciously just pours me out. It's beautiful. I love when people are in my life and I met him out there and I'm getting hugs. Dr. Jay, so good to see you. Thank you. It's refreshing to me. I love that moment. I mean, when I got born again and filled with the Spirit, it was in a prayer group, and it was 6 weeks before we could do it, though. And I got filled that day at 22 years old. Man, I became a different man. But what I didn't know was he was pouring me out every day. And so it's amazing, though. You know how it is, though. I leave church on Sunday, like super saint. I mean, angels are singing. I go to my car. Even my car's brighter and shinier. Rain is falling, but it's going around my car. I get it. By Tuesday, I'm back to being Jay again. I couldn't understand it. What happened to the joyous guy? Now I was irritated at everybody. Then they didn't do something. I can't believe I have leftovers. You know, I couldn't understand. Then I realized, Paul said it this way, being filled with the Spirit. And so when we come to church without realizing it, I'm being filled. And when I'm fellowshipping with friends, and I'm even times within the Scriptures, there's water coming out, I'm drinking. But there's one other way that it came in Noah's flood. It was the fountain of the great deep. He opened up the river that no one sees. And I want you to know this morning that there's a river that flows from his throne that is drinkable for you and I. It's a place that we search for him, seek for him. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of you and I meeting with him. I was so happy when I started to get the refreshing rains from God. Every time I would turn to him, it would be refreshing, just like you. I love the windows that have been in my life. But I'll tell you, I've got the drink of the intimate place with him and taste of the Lamb and taste of the throne of God. It's for all of us. Something happens when the clay pot is full. The simple water turns into wine. And there is something about us that the world is attracted to because it's just not water. There's this intoxicating spirit about us. There's this influential spirit about us. It's not Jay. I'm just a clay pot like you and I. We're all the same. I don't care if they put PhD on it. They can put Dr. So-and-so. They can put hair on it. That would be nice. But either way, though, I'm just the clay pot. the excellency, the power, and the hope of the glory is the man inside of you and I. I have a lot of friends of mine, colleagues, theologians over the years have become my friends, and out of great frustration, they're at now, especially now. And they would say to me, Dr. Jay, my brother, I've got a question for you. And I'd say, yeah, man, shoot it. He said, what a glorious church, that early church. I said, oh, man, yeah. One day, 3,000 saved. One day. 2 years later, in one day, 5,000. By the time we get to Acts chapter 6, there's probably 12 or 13,000. By the time we get to Acts chapter 11, where they first were called Christians, probably 25 to 40,000 people have come to the kingdom of God in that small nation and surrounding nations. What a moment. In 11 years? 13 years at the most by the time we get there. That's incredible. I say to them, it's amazing. I know. What a church. I mean, when I read, I think, wow. And they say to me, yeah, well, don't you think we should go back to that day? Don't you think we need to return to that day? And I say to them, no. We're not going to return to that day. And they say, what do you mean? Look at the church now. I said, yeah, I know. I'm part of her. Why not? Why not return there? We need that. I said, oh, no, you're right. We need that. But didn't you remember what the governor of the feast said? And they'll with almost a blank face to look at me. I said, see, men, humanity puts first the best. The best of all, they put it first. And hour after hour or generation after generation, worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. That's what men do. That's not what God does. That's not what that bridegroom did. I want you to know, so I want you to just hear it for just a moment this morning. What he did in the early days of the church, Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that you've been looking at, that you've been studying, what he did there was to be the beginning of what he intended. The start of it, not the conclusion. What he intended was, in what he did in that day, he intended for every generation for the wine to be greater, 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 greater. And the greatest wine is to be now. We need the rain. We've got to have revivals. I'm thankful for them. I love the open windows. I got to drink from the fountain of the great deep. But we cannot have only that. We've got to have an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I love Peter's quotes. After that, but let me just for a few moments, and I'm going to conclude it tonight, go back to the Joel's prophecy just for a moment. Tonight, I want you to, later today, we'll see what it looked like at this moment. I love this prophet. He says, you that have been married, come on. They're supposed to have a year off. You got to come out here. This is desperate. Yeah, you that have children, even babies, you got to come out. Everybody's got to, you got to come out. This is a solemn blowing of the trumpet. We've got to have everybody come out. It's a moment to fast and seek. But then he says, give me the priests. Gather the priests. What a moment. There's something about priesthood that is connected with this. Isn't it amazing? I'm looking at a nation of priests right now. A nation of priests in this nation. They're in every nation, including the Soviet Union, including Russia, including Yugoslavia, China, Iran, Iraq. They're all over the world. There are people, not after Aaron or Levi, after the Melchizedek, this endless life that this one known as the Christ, he was the beginning of it. And that man revolutionized the world. Because of him, that outpouring came. He says, get the priests here. Let them stand between the porch and the altar. It was a place in Solomon's temple. And let them say, spare thy people, O God. Give not thine heritage to reproach. Let not the heathen rule over us. For they say, where is your God? Then, it's the next word. I'll heal the land. I'll send the wheat, the wine, and the oil. Your vats will be full. Your silos will be overflowing. I'll restore the years. Even the beast will be joyous. I'll bring the former and the latter rain at one moment. And after that, I'll pour out my spirit. We need a Joel 2. We're desperate for the manifestation of his glory. We're desperate for an outpouring. It was a sovereign move in that day. He will hear the cry of his priesthood. Can we believe that? Is it possible? Think, could it be possible here in Virginia? 3,000 in one day was the beginning. What might happen now? 5,000 one day, 5,000? I want you to know, this boy is all in. Why not here? Pour your spirit upon our sons and daughters. What father and mother wouldn't long for that? Your old men will dream dreams. I'm not there yet. Despite what some people think. I'm still in the young men see vision. I don't know. Maybe when I'm 80, 83, 88. I don't know. Maybe I'll have a dream. What do you say, my brother priests? Would the Lord hear a cry out of Virginia for an outpouring of his spirit? Father, I thank you. Just for this morning, this initial moment, this, if you don't mind, cornerstone to what you're building in a day that we're living in, what you're intending to be, the marvel restoration of the city of God. Father, this morning, just stir our hearts, as Pastor Sean so graciously said, that there would just be a cry for the supernatural, a cry to see you, a cry to behold you, a cry to know you. That we would stand in our generation with an anticipation of seeing something that we've never seen before. The full ultimate intention, Lord, of your dream and your heart, your passion. You are the one that poured out your spirit graciously on an undeserving group of 120. How much more would you do in our day? It is our cry, Lord. I just repeat it. Spare thy people, O God. This is your heritage. Do not give us up for reproach. Let not the heathen rule over us. They say, where is your God? Lord, may they, without knowing it though, behold you in dimensions unprecedented in the history of the world. We're believing for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about just giving the Lord a hand for me, okay? Great, great. 5 minutes. You got a few minutes, right? Yeah. So this is your babe, or your sister, or your friend, or you don't know her. That's what I'm saying, babe. You know. Sorry, I was trying to be cool. You're the youth pastor. See, I showed my oldness there, and you didn't get it. Thank you very much. I'm done. No. I would never do that. This is a lively side over here. I like this side's crazy. Crazy good. Yeah. It really, the Lord is building a team here, which is really amazing. He was really kind of the one that they went after, but they didn't realize what a gift he had in the house. A young woman that had tremendous administration skills, had a tremendous ability with children, especially with young ones, gifted teacher, articulate, yet I've never seen such graciousness upon a young woman before as it is there. It really was, it's been on your family. Your grandmother was that way, your mother was that way. Your grandmother especially was a woman of great grace, and really the Lord honored it and put it on you. And that's where the graciousness has come from. He knew it right away, even though, like, he had that melting thing too, you know, like every guy has it. Oh my God, look at her. You know, but we do it like this though. Hey baby, what up? Yeah, how you doing? I'm here. But inside, I feel like that. Linda, I go, hey, Linda, you're looking good. She walks away. Yeah, so it's a great love. but the Lord's brought you two here. And I know we have different methods of hiring, but it was the Lord that really, I mean, he drew, it's like in a landscape that had mountains and valleys, impossible for you to get to here. He made a way, almost in like a way in the wilderness. He set a path, lowered the mountains, raised the valleys, even some bridges that you couldn't cross, you couldn't get over. The Lord rebuilt them just to bring you here. So this is more than just an interview, more than just a hiring. And so, my brother, the Lord is going to begin to really gift you. You have a tremendous articulation with young people. You just do. It's not just cool. You're really already, even though you, whether you have children or not, I don't know, but you're already fatherly. Both of you are fatherly and motherly. Very rare for young people, especially that either have no children, which appears to me, but even if you have small kids, really rare for you to be that way. But he's really done that, and you have to hear this, though, so that when things either, sometimes there's always going to be times you can't create gold without some fire. You can't create silver without some fire. So sometimes there's going to be some fire. Sometimes there's going to be, things aren't going to be as clear because you've got to get the dross out. And so that's going to happen. That's part of life. I've got a whole time period of mine. Every new dimension of glory is like that. So when it comes, don't think about out. Don't think about, well, maybe we should have done that one. Maybe that one, we made a mistake. No, this is right. And it is the Lord who brought you here. And so he wants to do this next era of building here because we're in a time change, not a seasonal change, not a time period of revival, non-revival. It's nothing like that. It's a whole era of time. One era is coming to a close and a new one's beginning. And the Lord brought you here. There could have been many in these seats, and you could have just been out, but it really was the Lord working it out. It doesn't matter why that one left or that one left. That's not the issue. It's not about that. It's about you and you being here. But this is the time that the Lord's established for, to bring you here and to establish you with this people, with this group, as servants, please don't get upset with this, though, as young disciples. The key thing about a disciple, though, different than the believer, is a learned one, taught one. Keep that heart and spirit. So here is, even at this point in my life with the degrees and everything, I know this, though. This has got to remain a teachable man. I don't care how old I get. I've got to be teachable. I've got to be willing to learn. It doesn't matter the age or I have to keep that spirit. I got a teacher who lives in here just like you. I've got to do that. Not like I've arrived now. But that's dangerous, man. I stay away from that. You know, and some people say, well, Jay, you should just stand up now. No. Bowing is better. Always is. Humble is always better. In due season, he'll do the exalting. Don't worry about it. So as this time period goes, and I'm 5 and 6 years down into 10 years, the Lord will establish you. You won't have to be concerned, well, will he keep us back because we're good with the kids? Will he really care about our vision and where we really want to go? You know, we have one day that we'd like to team up and pastor, blah, 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 all the things that you're thinking about. It's okay. It's good. But let it be in its time. Trust him, and you can trust them. That's how it happens. Remember Joseph. Remember Moses. Remember David. How is this possibly ever going to happen? How could the dream be true? The Lord will work it out. And so just understand that. But this is a great time to believe. This is a great time. Listen, I don't know what you got out of that story right there, but this is a great time to stand with a young priesthood and believe God to do some things that appears like could never happen. You understand English? Obviously, yes, sorry. Yeah, you got that great skin. I love it. Yeah, beautiful. So you guys are, how is this relationship? No, but what is it? Okay, just asking. I'm glad you said it's good. Is it really? No. No. I'm just teasing. I know I shouldn't play like that, but it's fun to play a little. Yeah. Her English is not so good. Right. Okay, it's good. She gets it. She's just nervous. I'd be nervous if I was sitting there. No, I'm not. I'm more nervous standing here, really. So I just really want to encourage you, my friend, because this is really a turning point for you. Dude, you got the rap thing. You got the whole, you got the whole game, rapping thing. It's just beautiful. It's just that, I can't do it. I can see you do it. I can feel it, but I can't do it because my skin's too tight. Yes, you know. Well, you don't do that, but I don't know what you do. But you do, and you've always loved that sound, and you know, that environment. And really, it's been, because you grew up in the church early, but then there were some wayward times in your teens, and you got away from a little bit, fought it a little bit, even though mom, your mother especially, your grandmother, your mother's side, really believing for the men in your family. And the Lord really reached down before you hit 18 years old and began to draw you so that you would begin to know him and see him again. And so this is just the beginning of a new dimension of God moving your direction. He's really going to change the profession, direction. He wants to have you an established young man because you're going to be a guy who the Lord uses to build the lives of other men, other families, and giving yourself to young people. It doesn't mean you have to be called necessarily youth pastor. It doesn't mean that has to be the expression. But the Lord's raised you up to be a guy who will always be a vocal to young men and young women, a young man who just speaks. I still do it. I mean, I'm glad I'm going to speak to the youth today, but young people attract me. So if I'm in the store or the mall, then they'll say, you know, you should be careful. I got to say something. Give me five. Give me a slap. Something. Pat him on the head. I let him rub my head, you know, show him some bicep. Anything. Anything to inspire the young generation and to be relational, because that's what they want. And see, your heart always has been just to have a father, to have just a place that you could fit in, a place that would accept you with the hair, you know, just you, just accept you, the whole clothing thing. You're just pretty calm right now, but you can get a lot wilder than this. All of this about you. And my friend, listen, it is the Lord who has drawn you to the kingdom of God. He'll establish you in the world, professional. You'll have a professional, you'll have your career. That's an absolute. You got to do that. But it'll be in both places. He wants to bless you financially out there. However this goes, whatever you decide, I'm not speaking to this, but you are the one that the Lord really wants to get a hold of and really set in the right path. Now, this is not a moment or I just feel good about this now. No, this is a real change of life for you. And you will watch what he will do. You trust him, dude. And he's already recreating your future from what it could have been to what it will be, just because you're willing to say yes to him and willing to return back to him. He's already doing it now. And there's more he'll do as you draw near to him, you walk with him. He has this ability of changing the future because that's where he lives. He lives back there, he lives here, and he lives there all at the same time. And so he's already beginning to do it, though. You don't realize what we don't realize the day that Jay LaRue at 22 said, you know what? I'm in, what that meant. He only knows where my life would have went. I certainly know the direction I was going. But who would have thought? Whether I spoke or I did this or not, it was never about that. It was about someone loving me, someone fathering me like this, someone actually caring about my everyday. Yo, come on. Amen. Please stand with me, please. Yeah, that's good. All right, yeah, just really, yeah. How are we doing? Oh, I want to stop with this couple first. How are you doing? Good. Good to see you. You're a beast. You are. I'm glad I didn't wear short-sleeved shirts with you in here. Don't do that peck thing. I saw that. Stop that. See? I don't like guys that like to look this good. I don't. This is hard for me. I have an issue with him. No, I don't. Not. Yeah. This is, what are you with him? Daughter, beautiful. That's your wife? Yeah, that's wife. This one looks like this. Yeah. She looks 22, and she probably is 22-ish. 19, huh? Yeah. My brother, listen, really for your family, the whole time up here, it was just fun because it's just you're a guy's guy. You've been all man. Life has had, not that you've fisted everything out, but you've just been a fighter. Everything has been a grind. Everything has been from the time you were young. Part of it was your family. Part of it was the growing up. Part of it was in your home. But you've only known that. And the working out is just because you like it, though, but you would always be known, you were just known as a bad boy, you know, just a guy you don't mess with. That's the guy, you know, you just got to stay away from him because he's trouble. And, you know, she liked the bad guy idea prior to the salvation, but yeah, you did. After the salvation, she wasn't too excited about it, which that happens, you know. But it really was, though. But it was amazing, though, the whole time I was here watching your life was kind of fun while I was there. But it was, what it was in the whole thing was his heart toward you. Even when things were difficult, 18, 19, 20, 21, those early 20s were really areas that, without you knowing it, he rescued you out of some places and situations. Just because he's had a heart for me from the beginning. We know he loves everyone, but there's times like a father would do it, like the prodigal waiting for the young son to come home every day just looking. It was that way in your direction. And he knew there would be a day that he would enter in and he would change the course of your life. What you didn't know was the plan that he had. And he would rescue you and cause you to be a man that once broke things, a man that once tore down things, a man that ripped things, a man that was opposing things, would become a man that would build, rebuild, a man that would restore. And what was torn, he would want to see put back together again. It has. Even within your marriage, when it was in difficult places and she prayed and believed, the Lord brought restoration even there, and he brought healing even there to continue it. They would never know many of the things. You may have told them some, but they would not have known. But you're going to see the Lord use you as the two of you and married couple with married couples. All this gets submitted to them. So you may be part of a part church or submitted to your leaders. But that's a destiny. Just because you understand the male, you do. He understands the male mind. And she's just ridiculous at talking. Because, you know, she could talk you out of anything pretty much. Yeah, I mean, she just is. She communicates beautifully. But the Lord is going to create, he's creating a couple here, very much oil and vinegar. A very much fine wine combination that he wants to begin. Listen, there's going to be, which isn't always easy, because even this is cool for you, because he doesn't talk to you, would be what you'd say. You kind of read, you feel a little bit, you know you should do these things, but this is the beginning of a new expression of the Lord into your life so that you know his care, and it's just not words written down on or someone gets bumper sticker, someone's got God loves me on the chest, and just going to do that. And all your he's just going to enlarge your career and just cause some new things to come into your life financially and directionally so that you can begin to establish this thing. But this thing to men, my friend, it's so a God thing. It's like everything has kind of come to a full point, and this is the day, this is the time, this is the hour for your involvement with the raising up and restoring and rebuilding of young men especially and young women, and the two of you with helping marriages not only go through what they're going through, but to be able to restore and have hope that where they are is not the end. See, you know this. You really do. You understand it. And so you're just going to see the Lord be this gracious to you. It is just the beginning of what he wants. You walk with him, and he will answer some of the dreams that you'd never dare ask, and some of the things you wouldn't even think about that could come into your life. Because like most of the men in this room, including me, I have a debt to pay. I'm just thankful I'm here. I wouldn't dare ask for more because of where I've been and what I've gone through. Oh, no, not with this guy. He's not that kind of father. The debt is done. It's free. I'm the one who's had to relearn and go, okay. I mean, I'm not going to make the MBA, but I'm not talking about that. But homes, house, retirement, future, kids' future. Oh, good. So you guys, one more couple? So you guys are married? Okay, great. I just... See, I don't like him, but I like you. The only thing I don't like is I spend all summer trying to look just like this. And it just goes back to being white again. I just love the skin color, the head color, everything about this is just, yeah. Sorry about the rubbing it like this, though. I only get to rub my own, so this is a rare thing. And it's got a little oil on it, too. It's kind of nice. I might try some oil on my head. This is a lot softer than mine. This is spiritual stuff now. Yeah. That's for your pleasure? I think he gets a lot of pleasure out of it. I'm not going to talk about that at all. You guys are awesome. My brother and sister, you know, there's been just a... There's a great history of the kingdom of God here with the two of you. Of walking with him, of trusting him, of believing for him. It really has been on both sides. My sister, you come from a singing, strong, declaring people. I mean, it's just beautiful. Old Pentecost, I would use that term. And the Lord's always, there's been always such a fire on your side of the family, especially the women's side of the family, and the men too, but especially the ladies. Almost, that's why you needed him, because the fire was almost... Most men couldn't bear the fire; they'd get burned with it, in a sense, you know. But really, and you've kept it. It isn't just the Latino. It isn't just where you come from. It isn't just the language. It isn't just the land. It's really the Spirit of God. He's the real fire. He's the real burning. I can maybe be articulate and be loud and be me, but it all goes away. Only he can keep the fire burning. He's the only one that has the oil, the light, and the burning. And so it's always been in your life. It's always been in your family. But the Lord, when he put you two together, was going to begin a new thing. It was going to begin, if you don't mind saying, building a new family, as it were. And you're going to just see this is extending out, because that couple right there is going to be a lot with you know, the ones I've said to him, but the Lord really wants to use you guys, in, again, I'm careful, in a leadership position, responsible people, people of integrity, where people would come and you would help on how to work, how to job, how to raise a family, how to love a woman, how to be a father, how to be a man that works in the business world, how to associate with business people. You just have this place, and very much like a Nehemiah, very much a builder, very much a guy and a woman who the Lord will set to build, a little differently than, again, them. But it is really that. And Nehemiah really never gets his hands on any of the wood. He sets the families to do it. But he's the responsible one. And so this is the place the Lord wants to do, is to raise you up with responsibility to guide, watch over people. If you're, you know, it's what an elder would do. It's what a man like that. So that when there's pillars in this building, they don't really have a voice. But without them, this building could not exist. There would be no ability to hold up. And so the Lord is raising up men and women, especially couples that have the energy, the passion still of life, to walk with younger couples, individuals, people coming in. Because we're going to get a lot of people that are coming to Sickling that are going to be broken-hearted, lost identity, don't even have family, fatherless and motherless, broken marriages especially. I mean, the remarried and triple marriages are almost as much as the first ones. And you understand that because of what you've been through and the uniting of you as a couple. You understand that process. And so the Lord really wants to begin bringing those people into your life. And so time in the scripture, time in prayer, preparing yourself. The biggest part, though, is believing God. So part of this word to the two of you was so that you would hear it, that you might believe it. And sometimes with the prophetic word, it's that way, though. I bring it sometimes in different dimensions, different ways. But sometimes just to begin to believe that God might be willing to do something. Because pretty soon we start thinking about retirement, just kind of laying around, being lazy. My life is over. Oh, no, not at all. In fact, in many ways, especially for you, it's just beginning.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the time.